Carellcast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay, for those of you in the know. You know, when Ronald Reagan died, I played Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, to much dismay of the world, actually. But today another song is in my head, and I won't play it, but it is in my head. It is, I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Also, sometimes, careful the things you say, children will listen. Because today across America, children, from the mouths of babes, today across America, children are leading the battle in gun control to outlaw ridiculously available weapons of mass destruction because they are tired of being targets. It's sad children are leading the way and we are not protecting the children. The children. I believe the children. Oh, the songs about the children and the babies. Oh, the children. Everything is for the children. And guess what? The children are telling us we're letting them down. You know? We're letting them down. And today, when I saw 7,000 pairs of shoes on the White House lawn, to signify every child that has died of gun violence since, I believe, Columbine. God hopes it's not Sandy Hook, because that's, you know, at least Columbine was a little further back. When I saw that, I lost my crap. Uh-oh, honey. Someone said, what's that over there? I said, my crap. They said, why? I said, I lost it. Would you please go get it for me, please? Because I just lost my crap. I saw that photo, and that was that. Because it was moving. It is staggering. You know, this morning my maid was here, and I don't say that to be elitist. I have a back injury. I cannot do all the things that a house needs to be done, and I'm staying at someone else's house. So I have to have a maid. But anyway, or an in-home supportive care worker, and I'll pay for it instead of letting the state. But whatever. So the maid was here, and she brings her daughter. Her daughter is young, probably five, maybe. And her daughter and Ember were playing today, and it just, I mean, after going this morning, it's so windy here in Vegas. Very windy. Ooh, very windy. Very, very, very windy here in Las Vegas. But it's over 70. There's blue skies with puffy clouds. It's very windy. Ember and I had a wonderful morning out playing. Just a great time. I needed to clear my head. I met a contractor yesterday. I want to use him. Preferred Contractors, I believe it's called. I like him. I like what he wants to do to my condo. It's going to be $23,000, and that's a problem. Not a problem. I have that, but then I won't have any savings, and I won't have as much to dump into a studio. And, yeah, but I want to do it. I have the closets, a brick wall. If Brickit will give us the stuff to do it, we'll see. And two new showers, meaning stone showers with water that comes from above and a wand on the wall, and, oh, the kitchen cabinets taken out and open shelving putting in with real wood open shelves with a rustic feel. New backsplash in the kitchen. Industrial chefs in the kitchen for the sink. The spigot, the faucet, whatever. Six can lights in my room. 6 can lights in the TV room to replace those horrible chandeliers that are down at eye level. I do not get to raise the roof. That would require this whole HOA thing is going to be really weird for me, because I've owned Park Howard for 23 years and I was the HOA, me and the city. But anyway, I will raise the $21,000 somehow. I will pay for the renovation and I will have my dream condo in Vegas for a while, because I'm on the happiness trail. And today I was happy all morning, which is why I'm late. I went and played with Ember in the park and we had such a great time. I weigh 185 pounds today. I didn't think that was ever doable, ever in my life, that I would ever weigh what I once weighed when I was like 14, 15, 16 years old. And today, I do. And it's all being a vegan and exercising. My maid asked me, do you walk every day? I said, every day, twice a day, whether I want to or not. And she said, oh, why? And I said, because if I don't walk, I won't walk. Meaning, my back injury is so severe, if I give it a week off, I won't be able to go back and walk again the distances that I walk now. I am literally one step short of not being able to walk ever and without surgery. Meaning, if I just step off a curb in the wrong way, if I just twist in the wrong way, it all ends. So I am so careful. But we went out and we had such a good time this morning. We walked down to Desert Breeze, which had a breeze. Ember loves to run in the wind. And yesterday we find out she loves to run in the water. She's been having such a time here in Las Vegas. Her labs are all great. Her blood work is wonderful. Her new doctor is gorgeous and nice and thorough. And I'm happy. And, you know, so when I looked at today, because I got sad last night about Stephen Hawking, we'll talk about that later. We lost our Einstein. We'll talk about that. But this morning, the protests. Now, I could be screaming about gun control because that's what today should be about. These protests, these kids walking out of, about the failure of our legislators, those 7,000 pairs of shoes on the congressional lawn. But see, after I got back and the maid was here and I went to the grocery store and my Lyft driver, Josh, was very kind and helped me with the groceries. And there's a nice checker box boy. I guess he looks young, under 30, so boy. At the Vons here on DI or on Durango and Fort Apache. And I got home and her daughter wanted to play with Ember. And Ember wanted to play with her daughter. So Ember totally changed her demeanor and was very gentle with the little girl and, you know, didn't growl at when she was playing ball, but was very kind with the little girl. It just made my little heart melt. And the little girl wanted to play with the garden hose, so I turned it on and I showed her how to water the plants that are out there. And my friend David Etheridge said I was doing child labor and making my maid's child work for me. And we laughed about that. And Ember played ball with her, and I made her a natural snack. I got an apple corer and slicer thing at Vaughn's, and I got an apple, and I sliced it and cored it all at the same time. It was spectacular. And I put agave over it with some dark chocolate and then some tropical trail mix. And I put that out for the maid and for her daughter and for me. And then I took papaya, dried papaya, and I took a real papaya because I have one. And then, you know, every time she ate a dried fruit, I showed her like mango, banana, you know. And then we went out back and she watered the plants and the joy of her playing with Ember. Look, I'm a big queer. I never wanted kids and they annoy me often. And maybe they should be put in overhead compartments and not dogs. We'll talk about that later too. Who's to blame there? But I know this morning playing with that little 5-year-old girl with a puppy and showing her how to water plants and showing her a papaya and a banana, I know that she will be the next generation. And she is what takes over when I'm gone. And these kids are showing us. And the young people in Pennsylvania, in a district that Trump won by 20 points, who now just elected a Democrat in a special election where no one usually shows up. So there is a Democratic wave coming. Now, it's normal and natural when there is a seated party and then both houses that it flips. That's normal. But this time it's different. It's going to be big this time because people are waking up. You know, they're calling it woke, you know, to being woke. And people are waking up. And today, we see that the kids are woke, okay? The kids are bisexual, gay, straight, gender neutral. The kids are dressing the way they want to dress. They're expressing themselves the way they want to express themselves. And they are telling us that the times of AR-15s being able to enter into schools is over. And that they are tired of their parents and their parents' parents and their lawmakers letting them be moving targets. They're sick of it. And today they did what should cause national shame. Congress should be ashamed to look at those 7,000 pairs of shoes because this little 5-year-old girl, I saw her little pair of shoes as she was running with Ember today here at my house or at Daniel's house, the lakes. And I thought every one of those pairs of shoes on the congressional lawn today is a Stephen Hawking that didn't grow up. is a Barbra Streisand that will never sing, is a Carell that will never get to be fabulous. Every one, and I don't have low T, ladies and gentlemen, today, it really made me that sad. Every one of those pairs of 7,000 shoes is a parent with a torn dream, a heart that will never, ever, ever mend. Every pair of those shoes is a life broken, another life taken, and 10 or 15 lives surrounding it forever altered. And why? Because we misinterpret the Second Amendment. Because in America, we are filled with people so stupid, being led by people so greedy, that they don't understand that the right to bear arms, let's not argue the militia part, let's just argue what's missing from that statement. All arms. The founders didn't say you have the right to bear all arms. They said you just have the right to bear arms. That's it. Not all. You don't have a right to every gun that we will ever produce. You simply don't. And that's a fact. So today, as the children of America embarrass Congress, embarrass America for the last 248 years, but particularly for the last 20, as the children of today say, we are not going to be your targets anymore. We're coming for your guns. We need to remember that no matter where you stand on this issue, the Second Amendment doesn't give you the right to bear all arms. Okay? It just doesn't. You can bear arms without bearing an AR-15. You can bear arms without bearing military-grade assault weapons. You can wait until you're 21 to bear arms. Okay? So today, the children of America make we, the people, look like idiots who have just let them die.
If you're not visiting reallycarell.com daily, you're missing out. Get the podcast, videos, and the blog, including recipes at reallycarell.com. That's really K-A-R-E-L.com.
We'll be back right after this. Hey, it's Carell. Not only can you watch me each and every week on Free Speech TV and at lifeinsegments.com, but you can stream me each and every day right here on the Progressive Voices Network, as well as my own dedicated app and all streaming services. Now, here's a little of what you're missing. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell Charles, Raymond Carell Boulay. No after show today because we film. You know, on Fridays when we film, that I can't do the after show. Again, the death toll has risen to 31. Climate scientists have already said that we need to get used to more deadlier wildfires in California. During the hurricane, should we have talked about climate change? Yes. And right now, you know, they are telling us that this is going to continue to happen, unfortunately, in our future. So as we are rebuilding these cities, as we are helping these people, I hope we do it with a compassionate yet science-driven rescue plan. In other words, maybe we shouldn't rebuild in some areas. Or if we do, maybe we should rethink the way the houses are made, make them fireproof, make them concrete, make them with basements that they could go, you know, outthink Mother Nature. If we're going to keep people in a region like this, then let's be smarter than the Mother Nature, who is now turning against us because she's pissed. Mother Nature is pissed. We've beaten this woman, just for decades now. We have smacked the huckabuck out of her. Just smacked her around. You know, like Farrah Fawcett burning bed, sort of like, you know, just smack, like, you know, just bam, just been hitting her, like, you know, right in the, like, what's his name in the 50s, the condoned wife beating. One of these days, Alice Powell, right in the kisser. Yeah, you like him. We have been powing Mother Nature right in the kisser, and she is pissed. Oh, my God, is she pissed. And she is sending her forces out to tell us that she is pissed. Whether they're named Irma or Harvey or Nate, whether they're fires, they are coming for us. She is coming for us. Now we have to prepare ourselves for her. You know, we do. And if we do, we can live through it. We really can. We just got to prepare. If I move to Vegas, that house is going to be extraordinarily environmentally friendly. It will have solar. I will try to have gray water installed because it's a desert out there. So my shower water and my sink water will go back to irrigate anything that I might have or be reclaimed. Yeah, it's all, you know, it's going to be environmentally sound because you can't move to a place like that and just think you can consume in the same way that you consume. You can't. And so we need to make sure that as we relocate Santa Rosians, as we let them build new houses, that we do it in a way that if another wildfire of this intensity blares this fast, we don't have couples holding each other in their pools until they boil and die. Okay? That we can do better than that for people.
Whether you're listening to me, Mark Levine, each Monday and Wednesday,
or me, Leslie Marshall, each Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday,
you can hear us 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
Here's a sample of what you'll hear.
Where I am right now is California, and the president's attorney general, Jeff Sessions, has announced that he has a lawsuit over sanctuary cities. In California, in areas where there's high crime, let's take Oakland. There are think tanks, even conservative think tanks, that found the overwhelming majority of crimes committed are by born, bred, and raised Americans here in the good old USA, not undocumented. This is what they don't want on the right, folks. They don't want undocumented workers or their children, who nobody can blame a majority feels should have a pathway to citizenship, to vote, because they'll vote for Democrats. And Republicans don't want that. I've seen tweets that say that, you know, California is bankrupt and people are leaving California in droves. And those aren't the facts. So let me just give you some facts, okay? In this state of California, under the leadership of Governor Jerry Brown, whether you like him or not, or like Democrats or not, in this very blue state, and we are what, the world's sixth largest economy? We're like our own country within a country. In addition to that, right now, we have a surplus. So for people that say California's broke and liberals run it to the ground, poo-poo. You know, the governor says this is a political stunt, and I agree.
Is completely unprecedented for the chief law enforcement of the United States to come out here and engage in a political stunt, make wild accusations, many of which are based on outright lies. That's unusual. And particularly a fellow coming from Alabama talking to us about secession and protecting the human and civil rights. I do think this is pure red meat for the base, and I would assume, but this is pure speculation, that Jeff thinks that Donald will be happier with him, and I'm sure Donald will be tweeting his joy at this particular performance. But it's not about law enforcement, it's not about justice, and it really demeans the high office to which he has been appointed.
Do you really think that mayors and governors and, you know, state legislators in this state are saying, you know, if you're an undocumented worker, run, run. And if you've committed a crime, you know, ICE is coming. Now, I know you may say the mayor, you know, made a warning, but you have to remember, a lot of these people have not committed crimes. They're ripping families apart. And that doesn't help the system. It doesn't help our economy. It doesn't help the state. And by the way, having anyone who committed a crime, especially a violent, on the loose in California is worse for California, not for the attorney general, who sits his butt 3,000 miles across the country in Washington, D.C.
Again, that's Mark Levine every Monday and Wednesday.
And Leslie Marshall each Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay. For those of you in the know, we are on a pledge drive, and we need funds more now than ever to set up here in Vegas and get this new show and this new life on its adventure. So for all of you already subscribing on Patreon, mwah, so much love to y'all. To all of you who are the big donors, people like Sue and Tracy and Vader, Viper and Vader, mommy and child. I'd love to meet you. So let's figure out a way for you guys to get to Vegas. Let's do high tea at the Mandarin Hotel. Let's figure out a way. Let's just do it. Let's just figure out a way for the biggest donors to get here and have a little kikwa. How about we figure out a way for anyone that donates over $1,000 to just come to Vegas and let's have some lunch. Let's have some tea. Let's have some fun. Let's go out to Red Rock. Come see my world. You know, let's figure out a way to fundraise because I want to stay doing what I want to do this for you every day. I really do. I now see that very clearly. I'm a media person. I need to be in the media every day. And once a week on television or every day on television. Let's get this Monday through Friday every day. Get this video out there every day. Let's do it. Come on. This ain't a hobby. Let's spread the message of love. You know, the Democrats won Pennsylvania, and I was happy about that this morning. I was singing, happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. So let's sing a song of cheer again. Happy times, happy nights, happy days are here again. Because why not? We have the blues so much. Why not say that, you know what? The Democrats are going to get some wins, and we're going to get Trump out of the White House. And the kids are getting older, and they're going to help. And maybe, just maybe, we can save the experiment. You know, yesterday we lost Hawking, Stephen Hawking, R. Einstein. I am 55. Einstein was my parents' generation's greatest physicist. And while Neil deGrasse Tyson is marvelous, he was no Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking processed information faster than my Mac. He thought of things that people didn't even know were questions, and he answered, just like Einstein, the reason he was a genius, he answered questions that no one even thought to ask. And he's gone. He's gone. And we lost the greatest mind in the cosmos. And remember, those 7,000 shoes on the lawn of the White House that should have every NRA supporter, every person that has taken money from the NRA in the government should march out today and resign. That's what should happen today. No one will really say that. I will. Today in Washington, every person, a Democrat or Republican, that has taken $1 from the NRA should resign and leave those hallowed halls. Get out. Like in the movie, get out! That's what should happen today. Those kids deserve that. Look at those 7,000 pairs of empty shoes. Stephen Hawking was there. He was there. He was one of those pairs of shoes. He was a nerdy 12-year-old, a gifted 14-year-old. He was the kid that saved his best friend. He was the disabled kid that couldn't run as fast. His shoes were out in front of Congress today. My shoes were out in front of Congress today. The gay kid at school that wanted to save his friends, that wanted to tell the world or the media what was happening. The gay kid that stood up to the shooter and said, you don't have to do this. Please put it down. We can talk. I care. Help. Let me help. That's me. You know that's me. The gay kid, the 14-year-old, who was grabbing his classmates in school to get them clear of this shooter because he cared so freaking much and would never know why, would never get to grow up to be the gay man in Las Vegas. That's whose shoes those are. Don't you look at random pairs of shoes like they're nothing on that congressional lawn. Stephen Hawking was on that congressional lawn. Bill Gates was on that congressional lawn. Henry Ford, Mr. Wright, go on, Amelia Earhart, Oprah Winfrey, Ava DuVernay. They were all on that lawn. Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr. were on that lawn. Oh, in more ways than one. When you lose 7,000 children to gun violence, you lose the world. And our geniuses are dying. Our greatest minds, our greatest artists. We need another generation of them, please. You know? And yet Congress remains silent and does nothing. It's really, really quite sad.
Watch Life in Segments starring Carell weekly on Free Speech TV and anytime online at lifeinsegments.com.
Hey, it's Carell. Not only can you watch me each and every week on Free Speech TV and at lifeinsegments.com.
It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay II. Don't forget tonight, Free Speech TV, Episode 2, Season 4, Carell Life in Segments. Tune in. I think it's at 6 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern on Free Speech TV. If you don't get Free Speech TV, go to freespeech.org and watch the live player right there. Episodes 1 and 2 will be up next week at lifeinsegments.com, and you can, of course, watch them there. Meanwhile, all three seasons previous are already there. Also, thank you, and all of you that have donated, and Patreon and everything, and you'll be getting an email from me about the future and special Patreon perks, so look for that in your Patreon. No after shows because of my voice, and next week I'm on vocal rest. He wanted me to go this week, by the way. And I said, look, I just can't pull together. I can't do that. I have obligations. I have got to. Then he's like, is there any way you could do less? And I said, well, I can cut out the after show each day. That cuts out 17 minutes. So he was like, do that. I'm like, okay. We were going to talk about Delta. You know, Andrew and I flew Delta once to Hawaii, first class round trip. I don't know how we paid for that. I think it was upgrade miles. It was upgrade miles. But it was great fun. And on the way back, Andrew got tipsy on the free booze in first class. And it was a nighttime flight, and we had sex. Oh, yes, we did. Not full-on sex, but Bill Clinton-type sex, meaning oral, in first class on Delta Airlines. No one knew. No one said a word if they did. I think we were pretty discreet about it. You know you're almost in, like, your own private little room there. You've got these two seats that are enormous next to each other. And anyway, so yes, we had sex on the Delta flight. Well, it appears if you do that and get caught, they want to prosecute you like you are frickin' Torquemada because we are Puritans. A woman was giving a 40-something-year-old woman was giving a 27-year-old man that she just met oral sex on the Delta flight. I say, go, sister. Go, honey. Young looks and tastes good. And you were like, I'm having me an in-flight snack. Oh, yes. Power to the girl. She's like 54, and he's 28. Power to the woman, honey. She got it. She got it. Okay? She was getting it. Or giving it, actually. And he was happy about it. It appears, however, others weren't. Which, why? Would you turn someone in for having oral sex on your plane? I'm being serious.
You're listening to The Carell Show. Carell.
Whether you're listening to me, Mark Levine, each Monday and Wednesday,
or me, Leslie Marshall, each Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday,
you can hear us 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
Here's a sample of what you'll hear.
This is John Arvosis, sitting in for Leslie. I'm here with our producer, Mark Grimaldi. Since the Parkland shooting, there's been we've been talking guns every episode, which I think is a good thing, obviously, because people are still talking about this issue, which is great. But what's been interesting, Mark, I thought, was particularly how the Republicans and the NRA are really starting to freak out. You know, these meddling kids are making too much of an impact.
You know, their entire world changed and they don't have talking points. There's no way you ever get that out of your head. And all you can do is fight for those who are no longer here. And that's what they've been consistent on. They're fighting for those who no longer have voices, and they're trying to honor their memories to make sure it doesn't happen again. And they're doing the same for the students of Newtown, who many of us thought after that incident was when things would change. Those kids who were murdered would be teenagers now. So it's...
This is Sandy Hook, where literally they killed 5- and 6-year-olds.
I just don't even know how... There's still, when I think about that, I can't even square it up. You know, I have a 3-year-old who's not that far off from that age, and I don't even know how I could, I hate to say it, but I don't even know how I could go forward myself, you know. And for the people who not only were able to do that, but then you have to somehow bear the brunt of fighting that fight against such a powerful organization. I mean, think about the emotional toll that you're fighting every day after being traumatized like that. The bravery and courage of these kids, they deserve nothing but the support of every American, right? Yet, you know, they're fighting against, you know, other Americans who are attacking them simply for trying to honor the memories of their friends who were murdered.
Well, and that's, I think, one of the hardest things of working on the gun issues is the personal toll, I think, can be even more than other issues because of the threats you get. You know, I've spent decades working on gay rights, which then became LGBT rights. And that was hard enough. I mean, that took its own toll. But what I didn't have, which people who work on gun issues have, is, you know, these constant threats and death threats. These kids are now getting death threats. Their parents are getting death threats. One of the parents of a girl that was murdered there in Parkland has come forward now and asked President Trump to publicly, you know, denounce the death threats they're all receiving.
Wow, I didn't and,
you
even
know,
see that.
And these kids are getting death threats because they're speaking out against the guns that killed their friends. And people with guns who are trying to claim that they're responsible citizens are making death threats against the kids saying that these guys aren't responsible, which only proves that they're not responsible.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, somebody making death threats shouldn't have a gun. It kind of proves the point.
Again, that's Mark Levine every Monday and Wednesday.
And Leslie Marshall each Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
Let's get to the story that I've wanted to talk about all day today, the United Airlines story. For those of you not in the know, I am Carell, and this is the Carell Cast, heard daily internationally through the Carell Cast app. Do you have the app? It's quite an app. Get the app. And then if you don't have the app, you can hear me on iHeart, iTunes, Spreaker. You can hear me on Genesis Communications, GCN Satellite. You can hear me on KJAJ. I think it's in Coos Bay or somewhere up there like that. You can hear me, oh, so many places. Progressive Voices Network. That's right, Progressive Voices Network. There I am every day, 7 days a week, and you can see me on Free Speech TV. And it only works if you spread the love and spread the word and put the show out there if you believe in it. Also, if you support it, we need cash, about 25 grand, actually. So let's start the fundraising at Really Carell, ReallyKarel.com. So this popped up in my Instagram feed. It is the reason I quit Facebook. A dead dog, a picture of a dead boxer in a carry-on case that looks just like Ember's carry-on bag. And because Ember flies. And the headline, it was from Nick Jane, the actor. We're Instagram friends. In fact, I am the person that the influencers follow. And this is a thing now. I have under 600 Instagram followers. But of those, 400 of them have over 20,000 followers themselves. Isn't that something? So the influencers out there actually follow me. So I was talking with him. I didn't know the story. I said, what happened? How did they kill the dog? Did they check it and put it in the cabin? Or, you know, what did they do? So I find out this morning that these people were flying with this boxer, which they have the breathing problems anyway, and they were on the plane. And the flight attendant, who probably is out of work right now and should be, told them to put it in the overhead compartment in its bag. And that it would be fine. And they were going to close it in the overhead compartment. And that it would be fine. And they assured the dog owners that this has been done before. And it's all fine. And it's all good. And just put your dog up there. Well, they did. And of course, the dog suffocated to death. And they pulled down a dead dog. I just can't even imagine. Yes, I can. I've been run over. My dog has died in my arms. I can imagine. And what I'm telling you is what they went through at that moment, you don't want to go through ever. And there's nothing United Airlines could give them, pay them, or say to them that will ever take away the horror of what they'll have PTSD from it. They will. Having to carry their dead dog to the airport. I mean, this is just, it's just a horrific story. So when he told me this, I then posed another question, and this is why you listen to me. First of all, of course, the United Airlines flight attendant is in the wrong. If this is a United Airlines policy, it should be stopped immediately by the USPCA. They should just say, no, you cannot require any pet to be put in an overhead compartment. When I bought Gio, my little three-wheel scooter, and I'm getting a new one, it's on order. The company Paggio cannot, I want to buy one of their products, and they can't get it to me. It's taking weeks. They're shipping it from Italy. That's how little they care about the MP3s in our country. I love them, and I highly recommend you getting one. They're great ways to get around, but just plan on waiting a while. Anyway, so when you get a Poggio MP3, if it has a trunk, there's a little thing that says, don't put the dog in the trunk. Because I guess Europeans were putting, you know, their pooches in the trunks. Dumb idea. Now, I don't know when common sense became in such short supply, but on an airplane, there have been many times I've loved to stuff a baby in the overhead compartment. It's being unruly, it's throwing things, it's crying, it's slobbering, it's spreading its bacteria, it's being a child. And I thought it'd be nice to stow that up in the luggage rack. But you can't. Why? Because the notion of putting a baby in a bassinet, a little case, and then putting it up, a two-year-old, in the overhead container, well, that's so if the notion of doing that is foreign, okay? If the notion of putting a human child up in an overhead container is foreign, then what on earth makes you think that putting a small dog up there would be okay? So, of course, United, which is now a known pet killer, they've killed many a pet, this is wrong. They need to compensate the couple. The flight attendant should be fired. This policy should be stopped immediately. That's the first thing. Second of all, and as a side note, I fully believe there should be airlines that now book pet-friendly flights so people can stop lying about their service animals and can simply take Scruffy or Muffy with them, one person, one animal, okay, in designated parts of the plane. I don't think anyone would mind. Of course, they have to be well-behaved. And, you know, as long as they fit in a container, I think it would all be fine. So even if they don't, if they're well-behaved, start making planes that accommodate pets. There's a market. People want to travel with their pets. There is a market. Airlines should start responding. Instead of killing pets, they should start making airlines like Richard Branson should make planes that can accommodate pets. There is a market people would fly. So anyway, that's just a side note. But here's the other thing that no one wants to say, but I'll say today, okay? You would have to pry Ember out of my lifeless hands before I would let you put her in an overhead container. Just period. You'd have to land the plane and let me off. You would have to restrain me physically, and there'd be quite a fight. You'd probably have to sedate me or shoot me. Literally, there'd have to be an air marshal putting me at gunpoint. And even then, I might challenge them and not let her out of my arms until they landed the plane and we could get off. I would not put my dog in the overhead compartment. I would not comply with the flight attendant. I would not comply with the captain if the captain told me to do so. I would say no. Let me tell you why. I told this to the woman at Vons this morning. Veronica is her name. And I said, America and the world has forgotten that they have the right to say no. Now, this whole Me Too movement has sprung from the fact that women forgot they actually had the right to say no, and that if someone did something they didn't like, they had the right to bring it to someone's attention. Somehow, we've become a bunch of disempowered a-holes who pretty much will bend over and let anybody stick anything up our anything that we want because they say they need to. When it is your child, and that's what that dog was, you protect its life even at the cost of your own, certainly at the cost of an airline ticket. So if you believe in, I don't care that they're telling you it's going to be okay up in the overhead compartment. What kind of pet owner really believes that their dog would be okay in the overhead luggage rack? Okay, so I'm sorry that this is a dual tragedy. We had the airline giving people bad information. Your animal will be okay up in the overhead compartment. That's a lie. How do I know? The dog died. So that's a lie. An animal will not be okay up in the overhead compartment. No animal should ever be put in one. So that's the first thing. The airline gave bad information to these people. The second breakdown here was these people actually didn't think they could say no to United Airlines. They thought they had to comply with United Airlines. They didn't. You don't have to comply with anybody for anything. Now, there might be repercussions to your noncompliance, but you don't have to. You have the right to say no in everything. We have the right to say no to Second Amendmenters who say, well, you have the right to bear arms. No, you don't. Not all arms. You simply don't. We have that right to say no. No, you don't. How do I know? Because we are here. This is our time. We are on planet Earth right now. We've got to make it the best we can be. That's how I know. Because we are in charge of our own lives. That's how I know. And if you're not, you should be. If you are in a place in your life where you cannot say no to something that might harm you or your family, then your life is wrong. Okay? You have the right to say no. And sometimes you have the obligation, the responsibility to say no. And we do it all the time. So, A, United Airlines, don't ever tell anyone to put a pet in an overhead container ever again. And you should pay for doing it this time. Number two, fire the idiot flight attendant that in their brain thought it would be a good idea. I don't care if the company's telling them that that's the policy. As a flight attendant, I would know better. I would never ask someone to do it, ever. Why? I would tell my bosses, no, that's a bad idea. Not gonna do it. And if they said, then you'll be fired, I'd say, then fire me. I'm sorry. I can't in good conscience tell a human being to put their beloved animal in an overhead compartment where any idiot would know it would die. Or could. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, as a responsible party for a child, for a caregiver, for a husband, for a wife, for anything, you're the one that has to say yes and no. And you know what? It's okay to say no. No, I think that will harm my child. No, that's not going to happen. Look, we let people not vaccinate their children and go and infect other children because to them, they think it's wrong and they say no. And we let that. I don't think we should let that, but we let that. You know, if they can say no to that, you can say no to putting your dog in an overhead compartment. Okay? So today all I can say is, look, we've got this Democrat winning in Pennsylvania. That's good for what's happening in the future, okay? It just is, okay? We've got the loss of Stephen Hawking, which we're going to talk about, you know? And that opens up the door to the talking about intellect and things bigger than us. And that's a marvelous conversation. And we've got these 7,000 shoes on the Congress lawn and kids everywhere marching in, kids! School-age children all across the country getting together on an issue, implementing a protest, and then doing it. Kids. Wow. I mean, wow. I mean, these people can't stay away from their phones for 8 seconds and couldn't organize to save their lives, but they are. Why? To save their lives. So we have that happening. That's wonderful. That's marvelous. How about we look at this United tragedy as a way to finally acknowledge that people want to travel with their pets, that pets are as important to people as children, and you should never ask a person to do something with their pet that you wouldn't ask them to do with their child. And this includes you, grocery stores. If you let a snotty-nosed child spread bacteria up at the top of a grocery cart, and you think that a dog riding up there is in some way some violation of some God-given whatever, you're wrong. And when I'm in a grocery store and I have Ember up there in her bag or on a cloth or something, and they say I have to take her down, I look them square in the eye and say, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. And the police won't come out for a health code violation. So guess what? You're just going to have to put up with me. Well, then, sir, we'll ask you to leave the store. Go ahead. Throw me out then. I'll leave. I'll go to another store. I'm not making her walk on the floor next to the carts where you put rat poison on the store floor to keep rats out of your store. Oh, well, sir, no. Tell me you don't put rat poison on the floor of a grocery store. Tell me you don't do that. Well, then I'm not letting my dog be on the floor. Sorry. Oh, but sir, no. See, I say no to people. I get right in their face and say, no, I'm not going to do what you've asked me. Sir, you have to give us your social security number. No, I don't. The law says I don't. So next. Well, then we won't do business with you. Okay, bye. That's the part America has problems with, the okay, bye part. I have no problem with that. Okay, bye.
Uncensored. Unfiltered. Unhinged. It's the Carell Cast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
Okay, bye. You can stream me each and every day right here on the Progressive Voices Network, as well as my own dedicated app and all streaming services. Now, here's a little of what you're missing.
Oh, Lord, a lifetime, a lifetime. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. So the stagers came to my house yesterday. These are the people who tell you how your house needs to look if you want to sell it for the top dollar. They, of course, gave me a 3-page report of everything that has to come out of the house. Everything that has to come out. And basically, it's almost everything except the studio. They're like, oh, no, we're not even going to tell you what to do in there. By the way, Brandon, the lights are off for a reason. You know what I found out? I was getting dizzy during every show. Thought it was blood pressure. Thought it was that lack of food. Thought it was this or that. Guess what it is?
Lights?
It's the lights. They're too close. They give me vertigo. So I'm going to have to fix that, but not today. But anyway, yeah. Just thought you should know that's why I'm doing this in the dark, because every day by the third segment, I'd be dizzy, and now I'm not. I turned them off yesterday, and I wasn't dizzy during the show, so I'm not going to wear sunglasses and, you know, be Stevie Wonder on camera. So, Brandon's here. We're going to the Queen Mary today to film the debut episode of Life in Segments, debuting October 26th on Free Speech TV, on Reverie, on Pluto TV, and on an app near you, on lifeinsegments.com, where all 3 seasons live right now for you to enjoy. Lifeinsegments.com. We're going down to see what really scares you at one of the biggest Halloween events in the country, actually. So that'll be great fun. Talk to ghouls and goblins and all of that. So anyway, the stagers came. So last night, they were really worried about the TV room. Okay, Park Howard is a 4-bedroom house with 2 bathrooms. One of the bedrooms we've always used as a TV room because Andrew insisted there was no television or monitor in the living room. The living room was sacrosanct. There would be no television monitors in the living room outside of a computer screen. If it was a computer and a computer screen, that was fine. But other than that, there was to be no television. So I respected that 16 years after his death because it makes sense to me. You should have an area where there is no television, you know? And we do. So why aren't you on my desk? You're really bumming me out. Yesterday you slept down there too. Let's not get in this habit. You get up here on my desk. You are the original desk dog and you will be on my desk, okay? There you go. There you go. I feel much better about that. Okay. So the stagers came through and they sent me their thing. But before I got their thing, I went to Home Depot. Don't buy your crates at Home Depot. Buy them at Costco. I learned the hard way. And I bought 20 crates, plastic tubs, to get started on this depersonalizing the most personal thing in my home, my home.
Hello, I'm Casey Hobbs.
And I'm Shane Mason, and we're the hosts of Nurse Talk Radio.
Here's what we're talking about this week.
What's it like to lose your mind, to see slices of one's identity slowly drifting away? Veteran journalist Greg O'Brien likens the journey in his expanded edition of On Pluto, Inside the Mind of Alzheimer's, with 12 new chapters, to a flyby of the dwarf planet Pluto, as seen through the lens of NASA's intrepid spacecraft, New Horizons. On Pluto, an international award winner when initially published in 2014, is the first book written by an investigative reporter embedded inside the mind of Alzheimer's.
Greg is with us today to talk about his journey since being diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's in 2009 when he was only 59. Since that time, he's been the subject of major interviews on PBS, Nova, and NPR Radio, and has traveled the world sharing his experience.
Greg, welcome back to Nurse Talk. So great to have you with us.
How you doing, Greg?
Doing okay. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to hear you again. So I understand with your disease there are, you know, good days and bad days. Is this a good day or a bad day for you?
I think every day is a mix of a good day and bad day. And that's the thing about this disease. You don't know who's going to show up. And you keep fighting and fighting because that's what it takes. And then sometimes you get so damn tired that you kind of want to just give up. It saps every bit of energy that you have. I mean, since last time we talked, and it's a progressive disease, you know, more and more, 60% of my short-term memory gone in 30 seconds, and more I don't recognize people I've known all my life. I get lost in familiar places. I've now had my license taken away because I've had blackouts. The doctors don't let me drive. And the right side of my body's collapsing. The brain signals aren't going down, and I have my from my feet to my shins are numb, and parts of my hands. And in writing, which is the love of my life, having trouble finding keys sometimes on the keyboard. And if you're a writer, it's a big freaking deal. And letters are getting inverted, and it's just a sign of what's to come. The brain is the control panel for the body, and for someone to think that Alzheimer's is just memory loss is an inaccurate stereotype.
Thanks for listening. You can find more information about these topics at nursetalksite.com or nationalnursesunited.org.
This podcast is powered by National Nurses United, the nation's largest union for registered nurses.
It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay. For those of you in the know, I thank all of my Patreon supporters. If you're not one, why aren't you? Has that been blurry this whole time, by the way? Why aren't you? You should be a Patreon subscriber. It's how we keep the peace. It's how we keep the flow, honey. And boy, one-time donations right now around tax time would be absolutely great through GoFundMe. Both fundraising available online at Really Carell, ReallyKarel.com. Yes, I look skinny. I weigh 185 pounds. Being a vegan works. It does. Exercise, walking 2 hours a day. And I do walk 2 hours a day. An hour and a half in the morning and 40 minutes a night. It's 2 hours a day walking. It works. It does. And I feel great and look great, and that's wonderful. But I still got sad this morning when Stephen Hawking died because I thought he's our Einstein. You know, and it was Einstein's birthday today, I believe. And, you know, when we can talk about great minds and what they were thinking about. Was he bat crap crazy in some ways? Probably. Was he a womanizer? Obviously. Married his young nurse. Divorced his first wife that he had two kids with. Because Stephen Hawking can get laid and I can't. Isn't that something? But anyway, so I look at him and I think of all the conversations we can have about things that are miraculous in the universe and the cosmos and all that we don't know or understand and all that we're trying to understand. And I would often look to him on things like the Hadron Collider and other things. You know, what was he saying about it? What was Neil deGrasse Tyson saying about it? What were the greatest thinkers? And not, I don't mean the Bill Gates. Bill Gates is nowhere on par with an astrophysicist. You know, I'm talking about the greatest minds who think up things that we could just never even imagine. My stepson, I swear to God, Jeremy Dittman, he's an MD, PhD at Cornell. He's not a kid, he's in his 40s now, but this kid thinks of things, you know, potassium channel gating shaker molecules in the brain and how to invent DNA to make them light up. And I mean, things that you just, you know, don't think of. And we need that. We need people constantly thinking of things that other people aren't, so we can expand and grow as a culture and as a species. You know, the Elon Musks of the world who are putting us on Mars, and the Stephen Hawkings who warned us of things like artificial intelligence, who warned us, you know, about the dangers of technology, along with developing some of it himself. So I think that on a day that he dies, it would be great the day after. I mean, I know there are these protests, but, you know, Stephen Hawking would look at gun violence as just a statistical problem to solve. And, of course, the biggest part of the equation would be, well, you know, get rid of the access to guns. You know, just it's that simple. Just get rid of the access to guns or get rid of guns, period, end of story. You know, just get rid of guns. And that would seem the logical thing to do, you know? It would just seem the logical thing to do. And so he would be logical about it.
But it's nice to have those people and to have those minds. And when you lose one, it's sad. You know, we fall over ourselves when Princess Diana died. We fall over ourselves when Michael Jackson, he was a musical genius, but still, when Michael Jackson dies, the greatest mind in the cosmos just died. And the up-and-coming greatest mind in the cosmos might be an empty pair of shoes on the White House lawn, because we're too stupid to get rid of 300, 500,000-year-old technology that kills people. That's the juxtaposition of today, of this Wednesday, as the children rise up to show us that they're coming for guns and they're going to get them. We mourn a great mind, and then we also mourn the fact that a lot of great minds have been taken from us too soon. Isn't that interesting? Meanwhile, we celebrate a Democratic win in Pennsylvania. We herald it as a sign of things to come, hopeful things, where more enlightened and progressive ideas tend to rule the day. All I really know is that, and we, of course, are saddened by the idiot decision of a flight attendant to kill a dog. And we hope that as pet owners, we're never forced to make such a decision. But if you are, if they ever tell you to put your dog someplace that you don't feel comfortable with, that you wouldn't get in, then don't do it and take the repercussions, okay? Truly, that's you know. So look, be optimistic today. I think that's the message. Be optimistic today, but also be a little sad. And be back tomorrow. I am Carell. Be who you want to be. Slum doesn't hurt anybody.
Be a part of the show. Email feedback at reallycarell.com. That's feedback at reallycarell.com.
Bye, y'all.
Uncensored. Unfiltered. Unhinged. It's the Carell Cast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
Hey, it's Carell, and I really appreciate you checking me out on radio and podcasting. But, you know, television has always been where my heart is. And that's why I am so happy to tell you that Life in Segments is going strong on Free Speech TV and at lifeinsegments.com. So tune in each and every week. Now, how about a little sample of what you're missing?
It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me. I am coming to you live from the west of Ireland in Lisdenvorna, where they're doing a matchmaking festival, as you know. We got into Dublin on Thursday, and we made the trek across the island to the west, to Lisdenvorna, where we are now. That's why I wasn't with you yesterday. I was en route. We're going to have a lot of great interviews for you. We're going to be talking to a lot of people and going a lot of places. We're also starting Carell Life in Segments Season 2. That's right, Brandon's here with me and Steve has come along, and so we're starting that in Ireland. Now, as you all know, and if you're new to the show, then you don't know, but as you all know, when I come to the other countries, I like to look at how they're looking at us. And this morning, I awoke, quite frankly, to something that's oh so common for us, but it appears not so common for the rest of the world. As you know by now, there has been another mass shooting. 10 people dead, many more injured, at a junior college where, you know, young people are. And it's a horrific, horrific crime. And I woke up this morning, and on the news, I turned on RTE, which is the state television here, and then RT, which is Russian television. As I turned it on, the bottom is what got me. It just, like, stuck me in the heart. It said, another mass shooting as Americans fail to control guns. And I just thought, oh my God, that's how they see these. You know, I read in the papers this morning and online, in yet an all too familiar scene, all of the media now is reporting like it's just commonplace, in yet an all too common scene, or yet again. And we have become completely and totally numb. But people, we have to wonder at some point, because when you look at it from the other side, when you're in another country and you stare back, you look at how really stupid we look. And quite frankly, on the matter of guns, we look absolutely ridiculous. 31% of all gun violence, 31% comes from the United States of America, of which there are only 315 million people out of the 8 billion on the planet. Now, when you look at that number, are we proud of that? Are we happy about that? Is that something we should, oh, look, we have more gun violence? No. But do we do anything about it? No. It's just another news story. 10 more families that have to buy 10 more burial plots, you know, hundreds of relatives that are now missing these.
That's just a sample of what you'll get each and every week at Life in Segments on Free Speech TV, Reverie, Pluto TV, and lifeinsegments.com.